Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Ruth Spiro and Irene Chan, and let's talk quantum physics with babies. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 384 of the podcast with Ruth Spiro and Irene Chan. Ruth and Irene have a board book series unlike anything I've ever seen. In their Baby Loves books, they tackle such topics as quantum physics, aerospace engineering, and quarks. And all through the economic use of the most direct, effective, and pared-down words and pictures. How do you maintain sophistication and wonder while engaging year zeros? Listen and find out. Here's episode number 384 of the podcast with Ruth Spiro and Irene Chan. Welcome to the podcast, Ruth and Irene. I'm so glad you're here. I have waited. Ruth, you know, I have waited to talk to you. So why don't we start with you, Ruth Spiro. Could you please introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hi, my name is Ruth, and I live in the suburbs of Chicago, and I'm the author of the Baby Loves Science series of board books. The first two came out last year. They were Baby Loves Aerospace Engineering and Baby Loves Quarks. And I'm very excited that now we will have two new books in the series, Baby Loves Thermodynamics and Baby Loves Quantum Physics.
It still blows my mind that that is what your books are.
Baby, it blows my mind a little bit too.
Baby Loves Aerospace Engineering. Just make sure, listeners, that you're hearing Aerospace Engineering. I rave and rave. I love this so much. And they came out right when my daughter, she's old enough that we are at that board book stage. What a sweet spot. What a great connection to be talking to you, Ruth. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Irene, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome, Irene Chan. Would you like to introduce yourself to everyone?
Yes. Thank you for having me, Matthew, and I'm so excited. My name is Irene Chan. I'm the illustrator for the Baby Love Science series. I am calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, and originally I'm from Hong Kong. And other than that, I illustrate for other markets, like mostly for kids, like games, puzzles, home decor, and such things. So I'm pretty new. I'm a newbie to the book world. I'm so excited about this.
No, but this when I post the episode, I'll make sure all the covers on the episode are facing out so that's easy to see. You are such a wonderful designer, Irene. The colors you've chosen, the way that the children's faces are just front and center in these board books, and just the way these four books for now, I know that there potentially are more on the way, but the way these four just fit together, it's clear that you come from a designing background like that. You do a very, very good job making these books read well to not only children, but to the parents that read them over and over.
Thank you. I'm glad that you find it nice to look at and you have nice things to say about them, and I'm really excited.
I read a lot of board books, Irene, a lot. And it's fun when you return to a book over and over to have Ruth, the text, read so well and be so sparse. And I feel like you did such a great job of making sure that every word counts. And then to have the illustrations just be so nice to look at. Julia, my daughter, especially loved in Baby Loves Thermodynamics. Whenever she sees anybody with their eyes closed, she always says, "Wake up!" yelling it.
And that's adorable.
So there was a lot of, "Wake up, son!" It was really cute.
That is adorable. And I have to also compliment Irene on her illustrations because, I mean, if I had specified what I thought these books should look like, they never would have looked as good as they do. And I also agree with what you said, Matthew, that Irene does such a fabulous job of making these babies' faces so adorable and so appealing. And we know that babies love to look at other babies, don't they? And this is just like catnip for baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just love looking at the faces. And I couldn't be happier with the job that Irene did with these.
Well, and just to call it out from the start, Irene, you're showing us, we are talking about science, and you're showing us this great mix of diversity in both race and in gender, and just children playing, but all children playing. And I think that to have, again, those faces facing out, to have baby see these other children and be exploring these topics at that age, I feel like has to be working inside that child's mind, that when we say the word scientist, all of these different faces come to mind. That is what speaks to me the most. That when I'm reading to my daughter, and we're talking about whatever science topic, in this case in particular, she is seeing that there are all these different faces that can fit that role. And I really value that.
Right. I do have to give credit to our art director at Charles Bridge Publishing and the whole team. And because, I mean, it is their idea to do, you know, to cover a wide variety of, you know, babies from Caucasian to Indian to Asian to African, like, descent. So it's everybody has a face in them. So I think this is a really, really great detail that they came up with. So
yeah. So I need to go back to Ruth though, because I feel like even though I've lived with these books for months, I still can't get over that I can hold in my hand a book about aerospace engineering for a 2-year-old. and what I'm so impressed with by that is that you have approached it in a way that is the same way every parent should be approaching talking about these topics with their kids, which is that we are engaging with science from the very beginning. And so why don't we talk to readers in that direct way? Because when you take on the topic of aerospace engineering, for example, you're talking about birds in flight and rocket ships. And that's something that we talk about from the very beginning of when you're first manipulating toys. So for you, Ruth, where did this idea come from to approach such a young audience with these topics in writing?
Well, I can tell you exactly where this came from. So in 2010, there was an article in the New York Times about how parents were bypassing picture books for their very small children in favor of what they considered more sophisticated reading material. And, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here, but we know that picture books are very important for many, many reasons. And I was discussing this article with a group of friends, and I said, "What do these parents want? Quantum physics for babies?" And we all kind of, you know, chuckled about that. And I started to think about it, and I was like, well, what would science books for babies look like? And it didn't come out immediately. Like, I really searching about you know, what is developmentally appropriate? Because sure, I could write a book about quantum physics, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be something that a small child or baby can relate to. So my idea with these was to pick different scientific concepts that related to something in a baby's world that would be familiar to them. So I started thinking about all the different things that I did with my girls. I have two daughters that are in college now, but at one point they were babies. And, you know, what were some of the things that we like to do and what were some of the things in their world? And one of them was watching birds. You know, we like to watch birds fly and on the trees, and then you look up and you see an airplane, and that's exciting. And so that's how I got the idea of writing this one, all about, you know, baby sees a bird fly. Well, how does a bird fly? It's not magic. There's science behind it. So why not just talk a little bit about that? You know, the bird, it's because of the configuration of the way their wings are designed. That's what enables them to fly. And then I, you know, moved on to airplanes and rockets. But to me, it was all a matter. I didn't want to just present these scientific concepts without making sure that they were accessible to small children. And I felt the best way to do that was to relate them to something that, that a small child, a toddler, a preschooler would be familiar with. So whether it's watching a bird fly or building a tower with blocks or picking an apple from a tree, there's science behind so many things in our world. And so why not open that door and start talking about it? And, you know, when a bird flies, it's not magic. There's a reason for it. So why not just, you know, it's just all about encouraging little ones to look around and explore and wonder, and then maybe talk about, you know, how does this happen? Why does this happen? So that's kind of where the idea came from.
I love the idea in such a way, not for me to oversimplify it, but almost came from goofing at a statement from a friend.
It did. That's exactly, I said, what do these parents want? You know, it was sort of a joke. And then I thought, well, what would that look like?
What if it's
And it. So that's, yeah.
Since I was first introduced to you, and I mentioned before that Nick Patton of the Picture Booking Podcast did a wonderful, wonderful podcast with you months ago, at a time when actually you and I were going to talk too, and we decided to hold off because there were more books coming. I got to say, these two new books that came, one, Irene got to hear all about how my baby loves that son. Wake up, son. But I have to say, I'm going to go real nerdy here just to say that your baby loves quantum physics. I feel like you take such a singular illustration of the concept, and in a whatever 10, 12 page board book, blew my mind with just, yep, now I'm always going to think of that example for quantum physics. Always. It is a cat in the box. Is the cat asleep or awake? Quantum physics says it is both asleep and awake.
Right. And actually, the funny thing is, I had years ago really been interested in quantum physics, and I had done some reading about it. And so that's where, you know, this came from. You know, it was from a very famous thought experiment that was done by a scientist. And I've had some people say, oh, where are you going with this? Because in the actual thought experiment, it's, you know, the cat is either alive or it's dead, which obviously we can't have babies. But what I thought was so fascinating was I had the early sketches for this, and I spoke at a conference of early childhood educators, and I let them take a look at the sketches just to, you know, see the next book that was coming out. And they were so excited because they viewed this in a different way. The cat was in the box, and they saw that as an example of object permanence.
I was just going to bring it up, that when you're a baby, you have that idea of object permanence. And isn't it constants and permanence? What's the one that, permanence is when you hide behind something and baby thinks you disappear, which is why babies love peekaboo, because they think you actually go away. And then there's the other one where you can have two balls of modeling clay, and when you flatten one, it's a developmental stage, one of Piaget's developmental stages, where he recognizes that when a baby can realize that the flattened ball and the round modeling clay have the exact same mass, that is a stage. So I love that you bring that up. Ah, we are back in educational psychology,
we
ladies
are
and gentlemen.
I love it. But, you know, I just think it's fun that within that context of something that could be, you know, very complicated, that it's a very sweet little story about a baby playing hide and seek with the kitten.
Right. Baby, all of them are such sweet things, that a baby playing outside, a baby wanting to eat an apple, a baby building a block tower. It allows, I think, again, that the beautiful complexity that you've done here in these books is that it allows for the child to see themselves exploring these topics and connecting with the things they like. Oh, an airplane. Yay, a cat. We like these things. And then at the same time, it allows the parent to see that when you play with your child, this is exactly the concept you're exploring. And it's not like some highfalutin claim to say, oh, we're just talking about thermodynamics here. No, you actually really are.
Science
is that accessible. Like for us, I feel like in a way you're sort of changing through these books, you're changing the way we culturally view science. That I think there's an idea that science is for the super smart. It's for the academically drawn, but it really is for everyone. And here you are. Here you are just, talking to babies. Oh, Ruth.
Just trying to make it more accessible. I mean, I was not a science kid. I was not, you know, a lover of science when I was younger. But I think, you know, this is a good way of making it more accessible. When you can relate it to something, then that helps you understand it.
You are so far ahead of Mr. Wizard and Bill Nye. Those are my two. And I'm like, man, you went even younger. I just love it.
Thank you.
Irene, when you were approached about this project, is this something that you had to submit samples for in order to be selected to do this? Or do they know your style all the way? Was this something that you were seeking out? Science board books for 2-year-olds? Where do you come in? I would love to know your story.
Okay. So, sorry, I couldn't add in my comments. I am not a science person at all. And so like, I was like, okay, we're talking about Cat in the Box. So yeah, that book, I really had to research about the whole theory and my mind is still blown with that concept. But anyway, my story was, I came from a graphic design background, and until really 2013-14, I am still mostly working in motion graphics with TV networks, and I design and animate for show packages for on air. And then my son was actually born in 2012, and that time, like, the whole my world actually changed. So I became, like, I want to create art for him. And there was one phase that, well, actually he's still in that phase. He loves trains, and I just draw a lot of trains. Like I just love creating art for him. And then, like, at that time, I also couldn't keep up with, you know, working with a TV schedule. Like, they call you on Monday, they want something on Friday for on air. So, like, I was trying to change, to a different career, so I can become a mom and then also, you know, like, create artwork for him. So around 2014, I was researching, I was taking some online classes to find out how do I get into, say, drawing for children's picture books. And then there I discovered you can submit your artwork to publishers. So I started sending postcards to various publishers and developing my portfolio and emailing. And I was so lucky that Susan, my art director in Charlesbridge, she reached out to me, and then she said, she told me about the Baby Love Science series that they are developing. They have the first two books. They sent me the manuscript and said they saw my postcard. It was actually an illustration. It was an illustration. It's strange when I describe it, but it is an illustration of a terrarium. And there was a mother and a child reading a choo-choo train book inside the world, a magical world inside the terrarium. And there were rockets and spaceship outside. And then they said they feel that my style is going to be able to illustrate an even more complex concepts of science for even a baby to enjoy. So that's what she said. I was like, oh, yes. Like, I was so excited. And then that was how I started with the books. And
Irene, yeah. I have chills. You were meant to do this. That's beautiful that your child was born and that you're creating these illustrations that capture all of the sort of wonder of science and these things all around us and the closeness of the child and parent and the terrarium, that closeness, it was all there. That's wonderful. It was right there in your DNA.
Yeah, because when I was drawing that, I was really thinking of myself and my child. And yeah. And it's just really wonderful how it opened this opportunity. And I was...
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. Well, and speaking of opportunities, Ruth, when you signed, did you sign for just those first two books for Quarks and Aerospace Engineering? Or were the four... I want to keep mentioning the other two so that people are aware, thermodynamics and quantum physics. Did you come in with four books or what was your approach with this?
So when I started sending my proposal to publishers, because these were so short, mm-hmm. I felt like I needed to give a few examples of what they would be just to give an editor a better idea. So I put together sort of a non-traditional little proposal package with almost like an executive summary with little marketing information, a little competitive analysis of what else was out there and how I saw these positioned. And then I included the manuscript, which is so funny to call it a manuscript, because these are between like 85 and 125 words. So they're very, very brief. And so I included three. It was Quarks, Aerospace Engineering, and Quantum Physics. And the title of my whole proposal was Baby Loves Quantum Physics. And then when Alyssa at Charles Bridge made the offer for them, she said that they wanted to do two books to start with, and they chose Aerospace Engineering and Quarks. And then, you know, the idea was that let's see how these start going, and then, you know, down the road we hope to do more. And then really very soon after these started going, they're like, okay, yeah, you know, let's look at the next two. Let's do quantum physics. And then they asked me for a list of possible topics for the fourth one. And we kind of settled on thermodynamics. So I originally pitched three of them and they took two to start.
Were you, can I ask at the time, were you working with an agent or was this you approaching the publisher directly?
Okay. So,
this pitching package, I'm fascinated by this. I love this idea. It feels like a really organized, well thought out way to approach someone. So how you did it is cool.
I come from a business background.
Right.
So
when you threw out the word executive, I figured. Right?
but I've been writing for children for quite a while. And, I had been submitting, you know, the traditional way with a manuscript and a cover letter and all that, but I just felt like the nature of this particular series needed something a little bit different because it was different than what was out there. And the funny thing is that I started submitting this in 2011 and then just to a couple of publishers very slowly. And then in 2012, the Baby Lit series came out.
Yes.
And I was like, I was ecstatic because I'm like, yes, like I'm on the right track. There's a market. These books, those were adorable. They were beautiful. The illustrations were, you know, and I was like, okay, great. So those are like literary babies. And now there's room for science babies. So I just like kind of plowed forward. So it's kind of a funny story about the way this happened. So to answer your question, at that time, I did not have an agent. I was just submitting to publishers on my own. And I submitted, I think to Charles Bridge, it was boy, I think it was like in 2013. And then in early 2014, I think it was, so it was February. I got an email from Alyssa at Charlesbridge, and I thought it was just going to another rejection. So I did not open it. If I tell you, I did not open it for 2 weeks because this was late February. And in March, I was going to Jane Yolen's house for her picture book boot camp. I was in the first group of people. So there were 10 of us, and I got to stay at Jane's house. And it was, you know, three of the best days of my writing life. And that was in early March. And so I was sitting in my room at Jane's house, and there was a dormer window, and I kid you not, I was looking out the window, and there was the owl moon right through the window. It was the craziest thing. Like, I was looking out at the moon, and I said, okay, I've got all the courage I need now. I'm just going to open up this email. And it was an email saying, apologies for taking so long. Is this still available? I would like to bring it to acquisitions.
Wow.
But I waited 2 weeks to open that because I just wanted to be in a good mood when I went to Jane's house, and I didn't want to be in a bad mood getting another rejection. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, of course replied, you know, it's still available. And I really didn't think much of it because it had happened so many times. I mean,
They wanted to take it to acquisitions? That and
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I had gotten other responses from other editors, you know, I love this so much. I wish I could take it. It's just kind of taking a chance, and it's just different than what we do. You know, there are all these reasons, but they were all very complimentary. And I knew that it would hit. I just knew that somebody would want it. I just felt it. And so, let's see. So that was in March, and then she took it to acquisitions, and then a couple months later, I got another email that they were interested. They would like to make an offer on the series, and at that point was when I decided I wanted to. Well, I knew that I had wanted to start working with an agent, but I had been keeping a folder of information about different agents that I might be interested in working with. And so I went to my folder and I pulled out 5 or 6 that were my top choices, and I sent them all emails and said, I have an offer pending, you know, would you be interested in talking with me about this? And okay. Of those, yeah. So I kind of did it in a backwards way, which is different than most people do, but it worked, you know. So I ended up scheduling calls with 4 of the agents, and then 3 of them offered to represent me, and then I picked the person that I felt the biggest connection with.
That doesn't seem that backwards at all. I mean, I know how much everyone has their own story about being agented or selling books or whatever, and that sounds like that was the right way to do this.
For me, it was.
For you, yeah.
For me, that was how it worked out. So, but it was all just, everything kind of fell into place.
Well, you know, it sounds like the whole series, everything fell into place. I love hearing that you and Irene run like on the exact same timeline of coming to Charlesbridge.
Except that I've been writing for quite a while. I mean, I've been writing since like 2000. And I did have a picture book that came out in 2006. And that was out for about 2 years. And then it went out of print. And it was, I mean, I still love that picture book, but it was sort of a back to the drawing board. And in the interim, I had been doing a lot of freelance writing, like for magazines. Okay. I did a lot of writing for Family Fun magazine and all that. So I've always been writing, but so this is a little bit different than what I'd been doing before that.
Yeah, no doubt. Just that neat timing that you both connected over Charlesbridge at that time.
But it all came together. Yeah.
Certainly. I love the notion, Ruth, that raising these girls and writing all of that time brought you to this one point where you're like, maybe it's time to write for when they were babies, to think back on that baby time. Mm-hmm. So you have four. I'm gonna ask this as sheepishly as I can, but are you having more? Are you allowed to say if there are going to be more? Is there a number we can acknowledge?
Yes.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
You're not going the baby lit route and having like 30 more coming out over the next 2 years or something, right?
Oh, as my grandmother would say, from your mouth to God's ears.
I had Jennifer on the other day on the podcast. She's a wonderful lady, and I think it's neat that I've said it there, but to reiterate, this is such a great time for board books and for mm-hmm. books for the very young, because I feel like for so long, even when both of my kids were born, almost all of the baby shower board books that we received were board book adaptations of classic books, which is fine, mm-hmm. but we're really seeing such strong original board book only titles like you're doing here. And so that, to know that there are four and that you're about to announce, even though I rudely jumped on your words, but you're about to say that there are more than that. What can we expect to see in the coming?
So there are two more that are coming out in the spring of 2018, and then another two that are coming out in the fall of 2018. So there are four coming out next year.
Four.
So
year.
We will
Double
have.
Down.
There will be eight. Yes. Yes.
I am actually stressing out. I mean, because I was supposed to finish the two that is coming out spring next year, right? And then it was like, I was told that the timeline get pushed up.
It did.
So I have to, and then I'm doing two more, like it's due two more in March. And I was really freaking out. And so now I'm just like, I'm trying to finish the fifth, and then I'm working on the sketches on the sixth.
But
let's see what happens. If, because like what Matthew just said, like the baby lit spoke it pushed out 30 in 2 years. I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
Cancel your vacation plans. We got to make some books.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, the good thing is there are new babies being born every day. And so there's a lot of new readers being born every day to read our books. But, and I totally understand, Irene is a little freaked out, but they did decide to move up the publication date of those next two, because they're doing well and people are looking for more.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. It's just really great that they are doing so well. And I mean, I love doing them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard that there isn't more time in the day. That's a quantum physics conversation in itself. But bringing it back. But it's great though that these books are being received as well as they are. That there is, I don't know, to use the technical term, that there is a market for them. But more importantly, that Charles Bridge is doing their job of getting them in front of parents, of the people that are to be aware of these books. And the word of mouth, of course, is serving them. You, Ruth, I know from saying this over email, but you are not yet allowed to announce what these titles are, right? But are you comfortable with me, like, saying, wouldn't it be cool if?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I've been making little notes, you know, because this is what I do. Also, I'm way into science, so there's that. For all of the topics you're going to explore and all the ways that you're going to surprise us, I should say it this way. These ideas came to my mind because you have caused me to think about what is the science that my daughter is exploring right now in her play. So thank you for that. You're causing me to think in that way. I thought about, we've been out on our walks, and today we were weeding our garden, and I was thinking about how my baby loves photosynthesis. And that was such a beautiful thing, to think about these beautiful red strawberries that she was eating and how they weren't quite ready yet. And you were causing me to think about science. You were causing me to think about science, Irene, because you're talking about trains, and all I can think of now is inertia and my son building these cardboard and painter's tape tubes that he's sending these these balls down these tubes to crash into things. And I'm thinking about genetics and why we have the color eyes that we have and all these things. It's crazy that you have opened up my eyes, Ruth and Irene, to the science around me and the science that my children are interacting with, despite the fact that I know you did not write these books for a 36-year-old man. I know you did not. But I admire and respect both of you for how much you are taking care of these science topics and of our readers, for the way that you are showing respect for not only the readers, but for the topics themselves in how you're delivering these books. Thank you for that.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. That means that I am just like tearing up to hear you say that, because it really does mean the world to me. And I really do write them for the 36-year-old parents and the 72-year-old grandparents.
Yes!
Because, you know, because we're all reading books to the little people that are in our lives, whether it's, you know, in daycare or grandparents or aunts and babysitters, whoever. And, you know, it's so nice to be able to explore and learn together. And so that just really makes me happy to hear you say that. So thank you.
Awesome.
for telling me that.
Of course.
And hey, Ruth, can I add one more I wish on the list?
Yes.
Of many baby love books? Because that is actually my 5-year-old's request.
What is it? I didn't hear.
My 5-year-old's request, my son's request, because we were reading the thermodynamics. And then he was looking at the spread that has the ocean, where there's like the whale, the everything. And he was like, "Mommy, can you make one book that is about the ocean animals, like the ocean, or like baby loves something like I don't know."
Oh my
but
word!
Then I was like, it's not up to me.
We all wanted to be marine biologists growing up. I know it.
Well, yeah. Well, you'll be happy to know that we do have a big, long list of, you know, possible future topics. And some of these are on there, but none of these are the 4 that are coming out next year.
Cool.
So
you have this
so
big topic
science.
And there's more. Oh,
yes,
Ruth, that's
there's
awesome.
There's so much more science that you'll be able to discover.
Oh, that's so cool.
But I'm writing these all down, and I love hearing about it. And these are like little votes, like you're getting a little check mark next to my list.
That's so cool. And when you're writing these, Ruth, I know Irene brought up about how much research she did just to make sure that, you know, despite illustrating an 80-word board book, you still need to really know the topic so that you can expertly, you know, execute the work. You as well, I know from talking to you that you have mentioned about talking to scientists to make sure that you're explaining the concepts accurately as well, right?
And thank you for mentioning that, because we do need to mention Dr. Fred Bortz, who I coincidentally met while at Jane Yolen's house. He was one of the other picture book boot campers with me. But he is a retired physicist, and he's also a children's book author. And he reviews all of our books, both the text and the illustrations, for accuracy, just to make sure that everything, because we don't want to be getting emails from people saying that the science is wrong. So we do have an expert reviewer who, every stage of the process, he reads these and he looks over the illustrations very closely. And he has called us to task several times on certain things where he has had to clarify things. So his help has really been invaluable to me, and I'm assuming to Irene as well.
That's great. Thank you, Dr. Fred. And you met him at Jane's house.
I met him at Jane's house. Another part of the
under
puzzle.
Under an owl moon.
Place. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's so enchanting. I love it all. Well, thank you both again for setting time aside to talk to me. I need to let you go so you can get back to making more of these books. But before I do, let me give you a chance to address your readers of all ages. And Ruth, I'll start with you. And that is to say that soon, we're on summer break now, but soon I'll see a library full of children. Is there a message that I can bring to them from you?
Yes. What I would like to recommend is that each child turn to a neighbor and ask them what their favorite book is, and then read that book. Even if it's something that you don't think that you'll like, or it was not the first thing that you would pick out for yourself, listen to what somebody else likes to read and read it, because you may just discover your next favorite book that you never knew about.
That's a great recommendation. Irene, let me ask the same of you. I'll see a library full of children soon. Is there something that I can bring to them from you?
I would say to observe and pay attention to the beauty that's all around us, and even on the most like ordinary things, like how the water flows or how the dust fly around in the sunlight, or how the tree branches, you know, branches out from its body to making tree limbs and to getting into the leaves. Like all these little things, we are taking it for granted, and it's such a blessing to be living in such so much beauty in our world. So pay attention, observe, and cherish.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 350 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them, and Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with the books they'll love. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect any ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, John Rocco shares Big Machines, the story of Virginia Lee Burton, and talks about some pretty incredible artifacts encountered in the time John was working on the illustrations. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.